WRCE.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Thanks for joining us for the morning show community conversation on WRC Radio. And we are happy to have in the studio today Brian Poles with us, Vice President of Clinic Services at the Richland Hospital. And later on, we might even twist his arm to talk a little basketball. We're going to do that. Thanks for coming in today, Brian.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Anybody that lived further away may not have made it.
Yeah, we're just, it really is not great out there. The roads downtown even were slick. So, yeah, be careful.
Yep. Appreciate you coming in here. We do have one cancellation we want to pass along. Coffee Clutch Bowling in the Richland Center at the Phoenix Center. Coffee Clutch Bowling has been canceled for today. Brian, let's talk a little bit about the Richland Hospital as 2024 winds to a close. What were some wins for the organization this year?
Well, I know it's been talked about a number of times throughout the year, but celebrating our 100th anniversary was definitely the highlight for us. It was a special year. You don't see that very often, a community hospital such as ours. Having the longevity that we do, being independent. So that was a really fun celebration. I think in September we had a nice community 5K run down the park. It was very well attended. So just something we're really proud of. We are all independent-minded, love being in the community. We know that we provide a really important service, and so we're just so happy that we get to serve this community.
Think about the number of people employed. It's got to be one of the biggest employers.
We are. We're somewhere in the range of 430 employees, which I think the last time I was brought up to speed on that, we might be one of, if not the largest employer in the county. So very proud of that, too.
Tell me about your job and your role as Vice President of Clinic Services.
I oversee all of our clinics. So that includes our Richland Center clinic. So we have the urgent care. We have our specialty providers in our specialty clinic and then our primary care clinic here in Richland Center. And then I also oversee the clinic in Muscadet and Spring Green. And then also this year, and another win for us, is we're opening our own retail pharmacy in the hospital lobby there. And so I have some experience in pharmacy in a previous life as well. So I've been asked to oversee the opening of that, and we're underway. We just had our soft opening here earlier this week, this month in December. We're planning a grand opening. You'll hear more about that, I think, coming up in January. Or February, but those are that encompasses all of my duties. I have a great team that I work with. We have 32 providers now, that includes physicians, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants. And so we're proud of the breadth of services that we offer. As part of my role as well, I also really collaborate with UW Health, who has outreach clinic here in Richland Center. So they lease space from us, but they send us a lot of their specialists on a weekly basis. So I work with the liaison at UW Health to coordinate that as well. So a lot of just really getting to work with great people. Great providers. We're blessed to have a great group right now in all of our clinics.
It's certainly a different game than it used to be. I mean, I think more services are provided here in Richland Center than ever before, right?
Yeah, and that's something that we constantly talk about is what makes sense for us. Now, there are limitations because we are a rural facility, and so there are some things shouldn't be offered here. You know, those tertiary centers provide those more complex services. But we look at it as if we can do it and do it well and do it safely, we want to consider providing that. We see that as a great service to the community. You know, we want to be the medical home for as many people as we can to get as much of their care here locally without having to travel the distance that you sometimes do have to.
Some of the test results, too, are almost almost instant now, right, in terms of different things that people need to be tested for?
We've made a lot of improvements with our electronic health record. It's been 2.5 years ago now since we transitioned to really a new platform. It's actually been 5 years ago this past weekend where the former Richland Medical Center and the Richland Hospital merged. And so that is another big milestone that we just crossed. But at the time of the merger, the two entities had two different records. And so we did a lot of work and put a lot of money into that new system. So all of the hospital and clinics are now on the same record. And as part of that, those test results, we have what we think is a very modern and a very patient-friendly system. So if you do have those lab results, you're going to see them almost immediately come through on that patient portal. So we're trying to look at ways to optimize that for our patients a little bit better. We did a lot of work on that this year, more to come on that. So another, I think, great service that we're trying to make better.
And with telehealth, too, is another avenue.
Really started in earnest around COVID time, and I think that being back in March 2020, it's now here to stay in some form or another. I think it's really dependent on a patient's situation. Technology comes into play. Us being rural, you have to have those internet or cell phone connections, but we do offer that. We do a decent number every month because some patients just they like the convenience of it and we have the technology to do it. And so again, another service that really we want to be able to offer our patients to give the best care possible.
You've had some physicians through the years that have been here for a long, long time. They're starting to wind down. I think Dr. Smith's career is starting to wind down.
Yeah. Dr. Bob Smith is formally retiring at the end of the year. And that is something in my role. I'm directly involved in physician recruitment, in provider recruitment. So that's something that falls under my duty. So I've gotten over the last 10 years to work with some just fantastic providers, physicians, Dr. Bob Smith being one of them. Dr. Neil Bard has been with us for, I'd speculate, Dr. Bard, if you hear this, if I say this wrong, I'm sorry, but pushing, 40 years, over 40 years that he's been with us, he's still going strong, seeing patients. So we're blessed to have a really great mix. We have a small group of very tenured physicians, very experienced physicians that have led us to where we are now. And then we've got a great group of younger providers as well. So it's a nice mixture of talent and experience.
Well, you talked about recruiting physicians too. What are some things you have to do there in those terms?
It's an interesting world. Recruiting providers, and even in the last 5 years, it's changed so much. It's so competitive. I mean, there's a shortage of providers in rural areas. So that in and of itself makes it a challenge for us. So we utilize different resources to try to source candidates. We work with a couple of different recruiters. When we do find someone, we're really looking for a fit. They obviously understand, the difference between rural and an urban a care setting. But that's what makes us unique. We're able to offer, a wider scope, especially for family practice, a wider scope of practice, which is, for some physicians, it's what they're looking for specifically. And so we also try to provide a little bit better work-life balance maybe than an urban environment. So we try to give them a little bit of autonomy with their schedule. So all of that really plays into the bigger picture of recruiting. And, we've been fortunate this past 2 years ago, we were able to sign three new family physicians, Dr. Brian Kroll, Dr. Lauren Thomas, and Dr. Misa Nguyen. All three of them are fantastic physicians. Their practices are growing quite rapidly. And so it's always a situation where you always want to have maybe one more than you need than one not enough. And so we're always trying to be strategic with that recruiting. And for us to be rural and stay independent, it's going to be something that we focus on, you know, all the time, every year. We have a saying where we're always recruiting. And so, you know, working with the, you know, my CEO, Bruce Raisler, or our clinic medical director, Dr. Jamie Dickman, we just had a couple of recruiting calls this week. So it's never ending. And it's actually one of the most enjoyable parts of my job.
For a provider that's looking to settle down, nice family area mm-hmm. and things like that, and you've had some that have chosen to spend pretty much their entire careers here, raise their families and everything.
Yeah, and that's a great point of part of successful recruiting. You know, when we set up that visit, you know, depending on where they're at in their lives, set up a visit with the schools, you know, have them come tour the schools, give them a tour of the city of Richland Center. You know, growing up here myself, I feel like I have a different perspective and able to maybe relate that a little bit more effectively. And that's been really fun to bring people in and show them what the community has to offer. Because, you know, almost every single time when we're done with that recruiting visit, I think they go away. Whether or not they choose to come here, they go away impressed with what the community has to offer.
You have some, for lack of a better term, like traveling physicians too that come through and pull a shift once in a while?
You know, every in certain situations, we utilize what they call locums or a traveling provider. Fortunately, in our clinics, we've been really fortunate to not need to use that. There have been a few instances in the last couple of years. And the reason why we try to avoid that is, you know, we really want that provider to be invested in the community. And so that's why I mentioned before, it's always better to have one more than you need than not enough. And so we've been blessed to not be in that position. But there are times when we do need that. I know in the past we've used a locums provider in our urgent care setting. We don't have that right now. But for the time and place, they're an absolute necessity to fill gaps.
Indeed. I know a push to improve rural health care, that's kind of the main focus as you get to the new year, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
It is. And in that regard, you know, we're working with the UW School of Medicine on a really exciting project that they call the Orion Initiative. This is something that's come up and evolved over the last 3 or 4 months. There's been a very generous anonymous donor to the UW School of Medicine whose sole focus is trying to improve rural healthcare and how we deliver rural healthcare. And so the entire project is trying to think outside the box in providing rural communities with different, more resources in any different aspect. You can talk about recruiting, but what we're focusing on is actually patient care and maybe certain specialties that maybe you don't have the number of patients that need that specialty, but there's still a need in the community. And so that's what we're focusing on in 2025. We're fortunate enough that we've been connected with the rheumatology department at UW School of Medicine, and we're going to be collaborating with them on just a unique delivery of care. We're going to start trialing it at the end of the first quarter, and those patients that need rheumatology, hopefully we can start to provide that service for some of them here locally. So it's really exciting to be able to work with them on something that big.
It may be a ways off, but I know a lot of people are curious about a new facility, new building. What is the latest on that, Brian?
Yeah, it's always on our mind. You know, going through that process was really eye-opening, I think, for everybody in our building and in the community. I think you know, where we're at right now is we're trying to make sure as a nonprofit, I think that's important for everybody to keep in mind. As a nonprofit, you still need to be able to show some the financial success to be able to sustain an investment such as that. And so, you know, our 2025 goals have a few that are centered around financial success to be able to build upon what we have. I mean, you know, as far as independent hospitals go. Our financial situation is great. We have no long-term debt. We have a sizable amount of cash on hand that other hospitals would be quite envious of. But when you're looking to build a something that's $120 to $150 million, that's quite an investment. So we're trying to stack together some successful years to build up that cash on hand for that down payment. I mean, everybody with a mortgage understands that. And then to be able to sustain an operating margin that will support the debt service needed. And so we're looking at, you know, a 7 to 8 year window where we're trying to get our finances in alignment with that goal. And we're going to take it year by year. Our board has been really fantastic in helping us guide us through that whole process. And so we'll continue to focus on that in 25.
Yeah, I think it's like a lot of things, you know, there's a catch 22. The longer you wait sometimes, the more expensive it's going to be.
That's true.
Right?
And that came up, you know, many times during this process. It's never going to be cheaper to build than it is today. And that's just a fact of, you know, a fact of life. And so that is also a consideration. The longer you wait, the more it's going to take.
You work closely with the foundation?
I a little bit. You know, Angie Coonan is the hospital foundation director. She comes in quite often to our executive management team meetings, give us the updates. They're doing a lot of really great things. It is an arm of the hospital that provides some fundraising. They are recently able to purchase a new panda warmer for our OB unit. And so they're always able to do some of those things every year. They do a lot with scholarships every year in the community. So all those up and coming students that we need to go into healthcare long term, we're able to provide them some financial support to get into school. So they do really, really good work.
I know you do a lot of job shadows, don't you, Brian?
They do, yeah. And that's all over the hospital in the number of different departments, whether that's with us in the clinic or the nurses on the inpatient side or the laboratory or radiology or therapy. There's a lot of opportunities for younger kids. And even down into the grade school level, we bring groups in and show them different aspects of the work life that we go through just to get it in their minds, get them interested. Maybe a healthcare career is for me.
I know that younger people are getting involved. A lot of them are getting nursing degrees early on, you know, high school years.
Yeah, you know, the CNA route is really common, and it provides such a great service. The nursing assistant role, it provides really just important intimate care to those patients, not only in the hospital but at area nursing homes. It's a great foundation to build to whatever healthcare career you want to go into. So it's great experience, and we also try to, you know, encourage and support that avenue as well.
What's the health status? Are you getting lots of reports of some sicknesses? It's been kind of a rough start a little bit to the season.
There was a stretch there. We haven't, you know, as far as flu and COVID numbers, going off of memory here, it hasn't been widespread yet. Although there was you know, a lot of sickness that went around around Thanksgiving, not necessarily flu and COVID, but there's it is the season, and I think as we go through over the next couple of years, or excuse me, next couple of months, we're just going to see more of it, just like we always do.
Sure, it's kind of a fact of life.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Certainly, and we went through COVID. I think we learned a lot, even though it was a bad time. I think as an organization, you know, the Richland Hospital, I think you kind of learned from it, didn't you?
We did, yeah, and I think we're still working on just long term responses to some of the things we learned. As it relates to just patient flow and, you know, how you set up your urgent care, for example, and wanting to maybe delineate between those that have upper respiratory illnesses versus maybe that's not something, but you're all coming to the same place to get that care. You know, you mentioned telehealth before. We talked about that. That's definitely something that came from it. So continuing to try to just make sure that we're always improving. Our focus on quality, you know, continues. We have a small department. Carolyn Anderson's in charge of our quality as an organization, and we just just continue to get better and better. And I'm always impressed by the work that they do.
You're always looking for volunteers as well, aren't you?
Yeah, we do. There is a group of volunteers. And you mentioned before, even some of the younger kids are starting to join that group of volunteers. So it's a wide range of community members that come in and, they man that front desk. They help people wayfind. They lend a hand when they see a need. And so it's a great way to give back for both those that maybe are transitioning to retirement, or younger kids that are looking to get into the healthcare field.
Indeed. Well, we also want to talk basketball with you. We'll do that in a little bit.
Hey, I can do that.
We'll take a time out, but you're here also to talk about the upcoming alumni basketball in Richland Center. So get those sneakers laced up if you're an old alumnus, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you described me there. I'm an old alumnus. So, we've got that coming up. It's always a fun event. January 4th this year, so we're just about a week and a half out. We have 30 some former alumni that are signed up to participate. It's our biggest fundraisers as a basketball program. So it's just it's a fun time for guys to come back, reminisce, meet up with old classmates, and the basketball, it's not great, but it's a lot of fun. And so we're going to have a great time on the morning of January 4th.
Awesome. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about that with Brian Poles in a moment here on The Morning Show. Richland Center boys basketball coach Brian Poles is our guest. Brian, you're getting ready for a big tournament going out of state for the Hornets here coming up this weekend.
Yeah, this is the second year that we're playing in Winona State's Holiday Tournament. It's near and dear to me. That's where I went to school. I got to play basketball there, so we get to play two games. It's a holiday tournament, but it's not necessarily a bracketed. We're assigned two games. On Friday, tomorrow, we play Durand, Arkansas. And so we've been trying to set this game up for a few years now. A good friend of mine and former college teammate, Justin Rudetsky, is the coach at Durand. And so we've been trying to figure out how we can get our teams to play against each other. So we play them tomorrow. That's going to be just a fun time for both of us to go against each other. And then on Saturday morning, we play Lewiston Altura, which is a small co-op just outside of Winona in Minnesota. I think one of the fun things, besides the fact we get to go to Winona State, play on the big court, and it's a great facility, is they play Minnesota rules, which includes a shot clock. And so that's a fun experience for the kids to just play under that type of setting. So we're looking forward to the 2 days coming up.
I recall when you played them, and you may not have been the head coach, but played Coach Kanothi's team.
Yeah, St. Charles,
right. At just a game a few years ago. But you played by Minnesota rules at that time. And I think, I don't know that we were into the 18-minute halves at that point when they played the first time,
right?
Anyway. So it does take a little getting used to, doesn't it?
It is. We played it last year when we were up at Winona. And I found that it really kind of helped offensively, just getting into the flow. You knew you had a clock, and so you were really more efficient with ball movement, just trying to work the basketball to get that shot. And I don't believe in two games we ever really ran into an issue of running out of time, or we're a high school team, so bad shots happen now and again. But it wasn't because of the shot clock. It actually, I thought, helped us play a little bit more efficiently.
I think it's coming to Wisconsin, the shot clock, don't you?
It is, and they've talked about it a number of times over the years. It was close maybe a handful of years ago going through, but I think it's just an eventuality. They've got to figure out the logistics of, there is technology. You have to get into every high school gym in the state. You have to have somebody trained up on how to run the shot clock. But so many of the states around us play with it. It is just a matter of time.
Yeah, I think the expense is the big thing, determining mm-hmm. how to not only get the software and the equipment, but yeah, you're going to have an extra person at every game.
Yeah, someone has to, be completely locked in on when to reset that shot clock. So there's an extra aspect, and like you said, an expense that, that goes along with it that every district would have to address.
Would you ever like to go back to quarters again?
I think getting the shot clock would be step one. I didn't mind going from quarters to halves. I am in favor of the shot clock. I do hope that we see that. I think it promotes skill development. You know, the strategy is a little bit different. You know, having a really smart, savvy, experienced point guard that, you know, when you get down to 8-10 seconds in the shot clock, they know what to do. They're able to get you into what you need to get into. So there is a little bit different strategy. But as far as, you know, looking at the quarters versus the halves, I'll take the shot clock first.
Some things, and as a broadcaster, I notice about the time when we used to have the end of a quarter, so about 9 minutes into the half, mm-hmm. sometimes games can get a little bit sloppy, and that's the only thing that I wish sometimes maybe they would have, maybe even a media timeout, you know, like at 9 minutes. It's like, okay, this is, you know, stop for a little bit and take our breath.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that, you know, when you add in two more opportunities for just end of quarter situations, you do play that last minute and a half a little bit differently versus, you know, if it's all just flowing through one half. You're right, there are times when, you know, it does get a little sloppy back and forth, but, you know, then I would argue that's incumbent upon me as the coach to try to see that and give the kids a break using the timeouts. But the built-in quarter break and just the end of quarter situations does add a little bit more strategy to it.
Let's talk about, because we're going to transition back into the alumni again, but how the game has changed a little bit, you know, since your playing days, obviously. It's changed quite a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, then you can go back to look at, you know, 70s and 80s, the once the three-point line came in the mid to late 80s in Wisconsin. You know, we were just talking about before, there's more games. The games are longer than what they have been. The kids have so much more access to off-season development, whether that's AAU or all of these, you know, personal coaches. So I think the individual skill level, when you look at the you know, the players that the state of Wisconsin is producing every year, there's kids that come out of the state and go on to play, you know, Division I basketball. There's a number that play in the NBA. So the game of basketball is continuing to improve and you know, to be in my position, coaching where I got to play, it's just so much fun to be able to go into the gym every day and work with the kids, you know, see the development, because, you know, you're looking at it from when you start to see them even in fourth grade at where I sit in my chair, and to see them come through grade school and when they join you as a freshman, it's so much fun to see the progress.
I think some of the memories I have through the years, you know, you've obviously got the standouts, but the mm-hmm. memories I have of some of the players that became big contributors, you know, maybe as a freshman, sophomore, you know, but they worked and built those skills up and really contributed to the program in later years.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, another thing about coaching that is so rewarding. Like you said, you have the standouts, you know, there's always going to be, every team has a couple of guys that get relied upon to do the majority of the scoring. But that's the beauty of team sports, is just it's such a great lesson for a life. I say this every year to parents and to the kids, and that's a big part of why I do it, because it was such an influence on my life to be able to, you know, learn those lessons. And then you see a kid maybe who came in as a freshman. I think of Alex Johnson comes to mind. You know, someone who as a freshman, he wasn't quite there yet. He just wasn't able to help the team. And then by the time he was done as a senior, he led the league in scoring and you know, was a huge contributor. So the work ethic, the resiliency, the teamwork, the time you put into it, it's all just, I love being part of it.
Life lessons, that's for sure. Lots of athletes are specializing now, too, aren't they?
And I think, you know, part of that is what I described. Obviously, the bigger school you go to, that's going to be more of an issue. You know, if you have, 500 kids in a class, it's going to be a lot harder to play three sports. I think that's one thing I love about our school, our community. We're still at that size where you can play three sports throughout the year and have a great experience. And so schools our size and smaller, man, I just love that. I love that for my kids growing up. I love it for the kids that we have. Most everybody that plays for us right now are in multiple sports.
Yes.
And I think that's just so important.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Phones. That's how you take a hint. Get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details.
WRCO Radio will now conduct a test of the emergency alert system. Please note, this is only a test of the emergency alert system from WRCO Radio in Richland Center.
News Time Today is sponsored by Computer Connections Y-Connect Wireless, bringing high-speed internet to rural communities. And by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies, caring for you and about you. And by BL Signs. A dense fog advisory in effect until noon today, a high of 44 this day, with occasional drizzle, some soaking rain possible tonight, and a low of 37. It's 37 right now.
Whenever you're in southwest Wisconsin, you're always close to someone who trusts BL Signs. From the van with a standout wrap to the business sign that greets you before you even step out of the car, or the restaurant sign that makes you hungry the moment you see it, BL Signs is behind it. Known for delivering projects done well, on time and on budget, BL Signs of Richland Center is your trusted source for all your signage needs. Start your next project with BL Signs. Visit them online at blsignage.com.
I'm Phil Nee with WRCO News. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports on Wednesday evening, December 25th, at approximately 6 p.m., a motor vehicle collided with a horse-drawn buggy on State Highway 82 near Pine Avenue, rural Hillsboro in the town of Union. Lydia E. M. Thompson, age 22, of rural Sparta, and Jaden Allen Shea, age 20, of Lafarge, were the occupants of a 2011 Chevrolet Cruze passenger car traveling east on State Highway 82. The vehicle struck a westbound buggy head-on in the westbound lane on a curve. Henry F. Bontrager, age 29, and Ruth Bontrager, age 29, both of rural Hillsboro, occupied the horse-drawn vehicle and were both ejected from the buggy, which came to rest in the roadway. The passenger car went off the north side of the roadway and traveled down an embankment where it came to rest. Lydia Thompson, Jaden Shea, and Ruth Bontrager were transported to Gunderson St. Joseph's Hospital in Hillsboro by Lafarge area ambulance. Henry Bontrager was pronounced dead at the scene by Vernon County Coroner Betty Nye. Ruth Bontrager was later transferred to Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. The horse also died because of the crash. Assisting the sheriff's office at the scene were the Lafarge Fire Department, Lafarge Area Ambulance, Wisconsin State Patrol Technical Reconstruction Unit, and the Town of Union and the Vernon County Coroner's Office. Several concerned citizens stopped to render aid and protect the scene until emergency personnel arrived. Gunderson Air was also requested, but were unable to fly due to weather conditions. A man who was arrested and is accused of crashing a vehicle into a building in Viroqua on Sunday is now missing. According to the Viroqua Police Department, a vehicle operated by Corey Simonson had been driven into the front of Smoke World Vape on Viroqua's Main Street at 3 o'clock Sunday morning. The vehicle was caught on camera. The 49-year-old Simonson was arrested by Westby Police and was recommended for charges of burglary and criminal damage to property. However, Corey Simonson has been missing since Monday night. The City of Madison Clerk's Office says almost 200 ballots from the November 5th general election were not properly processed. In a statement on Thursday, the Madison Clerk's Office said 193 mainly absentee ballots from three wards were discovered during the post-election reconciliation and cleanup. The Clerk's Office said that number was not enough to affect the outcome of any race or referendum, but Mayor Sacha Rhodes Conway said in a separate statement that a discrepancy of this magnitude is unacceptable and that a thorough review of the city's election policies and procedures will be conducted to ensure this kind of oversight does not reoccur. Also, clerks have 45 days to complete the reconciliation process after a presidential election. The clerk's office informed the Wisconsin Elections Commission of the unprocessed ballots by December 20th and will send a letter of apology to all affected voters. The State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection said yesterday that birds at a commercial poultry farm in Burnett County in northwest Wisconsin were destroyed to prevent the spread of H5N1 virus and that it will not enter the food system. Bird flu outbreaks have led to destruction of commercial flocks in several Wisconsin counties, and it's also infected wild birds in the state. Earlier this month, Wisconsin's first human H5N1 case was confirmed in a worker at a Barron County farm where an infected flock was also destroyed. So far, there's been no evidence anywhere in the United States of human-to-human transmission of bird flu, which has also infected dairy cattle in several states. Also, word today on a tow driver incident. The tow driver was killed in that incident earlier this week.
The Waukesha County Sheriff's Office says Hussein Farhat, employed by Yafo Towing out of Chicago, was killed when hit by a minivan in Waukesha County on Christmas Eve. Farhat was hit by the minivan while trying to load a vehicle onto his truck on the shoulder of I-94. The Sheriff's Office says they received an anonymous tip, which led to the suspect turning himself in during the investigation. The Sheriff's Office and Wisconsin State Patrol are still investigating the crash. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds anglers that the 2024 open water muskie fishing season will close statewide on December 31st. Anglers are also reminded that muskie may not be targeted through the ice at any time. Wisconsin has about 775 lakes and streams with thriving muskie populations, and several waters have special 50-inch minimum lengths. Anglers should consult the 2024-25 fishing regulations for the waters they fish for information. Anglers can use the DNR's Quality Waters webpage to find trophy-class muskie opportunities near them. The season will reopen in the southern zone on May 3rd and in the northern zone on May 24th. Learn more on the DNR's muskie webpage.
Why Connect Wireless, the local brand you trust, with unbeatable reliability and value. Why Connect Wireless is dedicated to keeping you connected. Love your phone and number? No problem. Bring them along. With coverage on the nation's largest and most reliable network, you get the speeds you need without the big carrier hassles. Plus, enjoy amazing customer service from a team that's right here in your community. Why Connect Wireless, the 5G network you deserve, period.
Mild and foggy today, occasional drizzle and light rain, becoming a steady rain by late afternoon, a high of 44. For tonight, soaking rain and possible fog, a low of 37. Saturday, drizzle possible early and a high of 45. Saturday night, a low of 30, and Sunday, more clouds than sun, still warmer than normal, a high of 42. We have a southwest wind at 2 miles per hour, and also right now, 9/100ths of an inch 1 inch of rain thus far in the day since midnight. It was 31 earlier. We're up to our morning high so far at 37 degrees.
Reducing the risk of illness is easy with a visit to Center Pharmacy or Boscobel Pharmacy. Center and Boscobel Pharmacy are your vaccination headquarters for the flu, pneumonia, and shingles. No appointment needed. The helpful staff will have you in and out in no time, often at no charge with qualifying insurance or Medicare. Don't wait. Get protected today at Center Pharmacy on Orange Street or Boscobel Pharmacy in downtown Boscobel. The Shingrix vaccine is in stock, proven to be 90% effective for the prevention of shingles.
Let me help you save money at the Creative Outlet. From now until January 4th, you can save 50% off on all of our unique scrapbooking papers.
The Village of Muscadet and Mushroom Fest celebrates the holiday season by thanking their loyal customers. Here's to a joyful Christmas and a prosperous start to 2025 for everyone.
Sports Time is next, sponsored by Mr. G's Downtown Viroqua and in the Richland Square Shopping Center, your local source for clothes, boots, shoes, and for everything in style you need for work and play. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. High school teams getting into gear for matches and games today and tomorrow, and last night a Bucks loss against the Nets. Those stories and more in a moment. Looking for the best in shoes and clothing? Look no further than Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing in Richland Center. Mr. G's has it all, from stylish outfits to durable work boots. Whatever you need, Mr. G's has you covered. Visit them today at 140 Richland Square or give them a call at 647-3543. Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing, where quality meets style.
Choose Mr. G's.
The mats are rolled out at the Lacrosse Center, and the Bi-State Wrestling Tournament is set to go. WRCO's Bill Twining has more.
The 42nd Annual Bi-State Classic Wrestling Tournament, hosted by Holman High School, will take place today and tomorrow at the Lacrosse Center. There are a total of 70 boys wrestling teams in the event, which features 64-man brackets, individual champions in each weight class, and team champions in three divisions of large, medium, and small schools. Concurrently, there'll be a girls wrestling tournament with individual and team champions crowned. WRCO Sports will provide updates throughout this year's Bi-State, focusing on area teams Richland Center, Ithaca Weston, Riverdale, River Valley, Kickapoo Lafarge Youth Initiative, Boscobel Wazika Steuben, North Crawford Seneca, Iowa Grant Highland, Mineral Point, and Dodgeville. Others in the Bi-State Classic from our extended area include Cashton, DeSoto, New Lisbon, Royal Waniwak Center, Westby, Viroqua, Lancaster, Belmont, Platteville, Cuba City, Benton, Southwestern, Prairie du Chien, and Mount Horeb, Barneveld. Action begins this morning at 9 o'clock with the boys wrestling in the Lacrosse Center main arena and the girls wrestling in the venue's South Hall. Session 2 is tonight with wrestlebacks and quarterfinals. Day 2 tomorrow has boys and girls both in the main arena, with wrestleback and semifinals slated for the 9 o'clock hour, culminating with placement matches, the championship finals later in the day, beginning with the parade of champions at 4:45 Saturday afternoon. For WRCO Radio Sports and David Wormand, I'm Bill Twining.
Thanks, Bill. Also going on, lots of basketball today. Richland Center's girls team will be at Westby. Also, Kickapoo and Westby will be there. They'll play at 10. Richland Center plays at Royal at 10. The consolation and championship games will be played at 12:30 at Westby High School. And the Richland Center boys are headed out of state to the Winona State University Tournament, and Brian Poles has more about it.
The second year that we're playing in Winona State's Holiday Tournament, it's near and dear to me. That's where I went to school. I got to play basketball there, so we get to play two games. It's a holiday tournament, but it's not necessarily a bracketed. We're assigned two games. On Friday, we play Durand, Arkansas. And so we've been trying to set this game up for a few years now. A good friend of mine and former college teammate, Justin Rudetsky, is the coach at Durand, and so we've been trying to figure out how we can get our teams to play against each other. So we play them. That's going to be just a fun time for both of us to go against each other. And then on Saturday morning, We play Lewiston Altura, which is a small co-op just outside of Winona in Minnesota. I think one of the fun things, besides the fact we get to go to Winona State, play on the big court, and it's a great facility, is they play Minnesota rules, which includes a shot clock. And so that's a fun experience for the kids to just play under that type of setting. So we're looking forward to the 2 days coming up.
The Hornets play today and bright and early tomorrow morning. The pressure of playing without superstars Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard was finally too much last night against the Nets. A 6-point Bucks lead evaporated in the fourth quarter of a 111-105 defeat. Chris Middleton scored 21 points and Brooke Lopez 20. The Bucks make the short trip to Chicago Saturday for a game against the Bulls. The Packers could use a few more players for Sunday's game at Minnesota. Coach Matt LaFleur tells reporters, probably not, but when asked if all-pro cornerback Jaire Alexander will finally return, he has been practicing. Safety Javon Ballard, also linebacker Tyron Hopper, tight ends Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave were all listed as limited Thursday, even though a full practice was not held. Wide receiver Christian Watson will be a game-time decision. Well, also having a great year, Josh Jacobs, the Packer running back, who recently gave diamond pendants to all of his offensive linemen, including Josh Myers.
I told him, I was like, no one has ever gotten me a gift like this, ever. This is insane. Yeah, no, I that's my first diamond anything that's real. So it's a cool deal. I don't really know what to do with myself. I'll have to wear it sometime.
Last night in football, Seattle held off Chicago 6-3, the final of that Thursday game. And I'm Phil Nee with sports.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and 3 points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of optimism for this year's Hornets.
Yeah, we're definitely taking a step forward. We're 3-3 right now. You know, we had a couple of really tough non-conference games. We've scheduled some tougher non-conference games this year. And so we're going to start getting into the conference in earnest after the break. For us, you know, we're still young at the point guard position. Jaden Shep's just a sophomore, but he's really made some good strides from last year to this year. We've got some size. We're actually one of the biggest teams in the area. You know, 6'7", 6'6", 6'5". You don't see that very often. That really changes things, what you can do defensively. So we're looking forward to just getting into the conference, showing everybody our improvement. And, yeah, our win total is going to go up, definitely. Where we land, I think, is going to be just, I think, determined by how consistent we can become.
So let's look back a little bit. So the alumni game coming up on January 4th. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing a lot of lies will be told that day, too, right?
Usually there are, yeah. I think we have... We have two alumni back from the 80s.
Really?
Yeah. I know Bob Beggs is one of them. And so then we try to spread them out. We'll the four teams. This is me selfishly. I don't want to play against all the 20-year-olds myself. I want to have a few of them on my team. So then there's a number from the 90s. I think we've got Coach Johnson talked into playing. One classmate of mine will be back. And then it's really just a nice mix of kids from all throughout the 2000s. So it's going to be just a real fun morning.
What time does it start on the 4th?
We're going to start at 8 o'clock. We've got the four teams, so we're just going to play, you know, the winners play the winners, losers play the losers. So each team will play two games. We will put it up on YouTube. So if you want to come, we'll have the bleachers years out. I've always been surprised the last couple of years how many people from the community have come to watch. It's been really fun. And then we'll have it on YouTube as well. So we'll have start at 8. We'll wrap up around noon. And then we roll right into our high school game. And so we host Kenosha Indian Trail that Saturday afternoon. Our JV will start at 1:30 and varsity will get going right after that.
You've done that format before. I remember a couple of years ago. Turned out to be a really good game as well against them.
It was. And, you know, Kenosha, people ask me, how did you get them on your schedule? Why do you have them on your schedule? And so 3 years ago, we were looking to get a 24th game. And so we put a message out on various boards, whether it was through the WIA or the athletic director's message board. And Kenosha Indian Trail reached out, and I've gotten to know their coach a little bit now. They said, you know, yeah, we'd be willing to come over. And I said, okay, we'll reciprocate. And we went there last year. And in talking to him, we decided, okay, let's keep doing it. So this is the third year in a row, it's interesting. I mean, Kenosha Indian Trail is one of the largest high schools in the state of Wisconsin, and so for them to come here and then us to go there last year, it was just a great experience. The kids get to see. I mean, they came here 2 years ago, and were just they were so complimentary of how welcoming we were, how great our facility was. I think, you know, you come from Kenosha, Milwaukee, whatever, you come out to the country, and you see this great gym and great facility. They were all really, really nice kids, very, very polite, well behaved, and then we had the same experience. We went there last year on a Saturday, and obviously their facility is gorgeous, is beautiful, so it's fun to play there. So it's turning into really a great relationship.
I remember when they were here a couple of years ago, one of the athletes, I was talking to their coach, and one of the athletes, they couldn't get over. They saw ice shanties when they were coming up Highway 14. Yeah. You know, it's not something they're accustomed to. What are those houses doing on the ice?
Exactly. Yeah. So they all got to experience just, you know, rural Wisconsin. So it's really fun. They're a great group. Their coach is a really great guy.
Awesome. And you mentioned, Brian, this is a fundraiser. How do you raise money and what do you look for?
Yeah, we've gone around the community and asked for sponsorships from area businesses, and we've had just a great response. There's been so many businesses that have been generous. They sponsor some t-shirts for the alumni, and that sponsorship will then go into to our basketball account. One of the big things we are fundraising for right now is coming up next year is our cycle to get new uniforms. And so we're going to subsidize that purchase of uniforms, and we do that every 5 or 6 years or so. And so it's our cycle. We'll also use the money for summer events, basketballs, just anything that we as a program need to support the kids is what we use the money for. So we're really appreciative of the response from the local businesses.
That's great. You know, schools can use the support, can't they?
Exactly. And I also want to mention our booster club does a really fantastic job of fundraising and supporting each of the individual sports. And fundraising is one of those things that that's just our reality. We have to do it. I try to keep it to a minimum. I find that this is a really great avenue where we're bringing in our alumni. They're helping us out as well by just paying a nominal fee to play in the game. And so we'll use these proceeds, and it'll go a long way for us. So we'll be able to get into summer tournaments and not have the kids have to pay that out of pocket, and just provide more access for those types of things.
Will you be doing some silent auctions that day?
We do plan a silent auction as well. I know we have a number of items we'll have set up right away Saturday morning. We'll keep those silent auctions open through the varsity basketball game that afternoon.
Okay. Yeah, I know there's some unique items on there from time to time that you get.
Yeah, we've had some really great items. We're fortunate enough. Brady Ewing has provided some things in past years. I think we might have a one or two from him this year. But it's always, again, area businesses and then family members from our players come up with just really, really great items. We're fortunate.
Yeah. Happy birthday to Brady today, by the way.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Brady. Well, basketball, certainly, it's a hot topic right now. You think the Badgers are doing all right, Brian? And I think leading the nation in free throw percentage. That's pretty outstanding, isn't it?
I wish our high school team could could tap into that. Free throws are so underrated. That's amazing. I didn't know that stat. They're off to a great start. It's always interesting, and I'm sure you see this. You come into a season and they're not very heralded, and then they start off, 10-0, and they show everybody that Coach Gard can coach, and they've got good players. So, just being a basketball fan that I am, being so busy, I don't get to watch a ton of their games. I'm a huge Bucks fan too. I love the NBA, so all things basketball, I'm all for.
Well, certainly you were a great free throw shooter in high school. I presume in college as well, but you had the school record, probably still do, for percentage during the season.
It's one of those things where, and I don't know why or where, but always was a focus of mine. I remember growing up getting into every free throw contest I could. Knights of Columbus every year always had a free throw contest. And so you'd go to the local one and I would practice for it. And that's, that's how I became a good free throw shooter. And so, I even won state twice for the free throw contest. So it was always a fun experience. It was great, simulating that pressure in those, and you don't see them very, very much anymore. The free throw contests have kind of died off. And, it is a lost art, because if you can shoot at a high school level, and we talk about this with our kids, even in the mid 60s, you want to get to 70% as a team, but, and on the high school level, that's a big ask. So if you have somebody that shoots 80-85%, you have such an advantage at the end of games. If you're up and they've got a foul and you're in the bonus and you have somebody that you can put it in their hands and they can make that percentage, that's a game changer.
Now the Badgers, I think, are at 85% as a team. That's
incredible.
Pretty outstanding.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there a secret to good free throw shooting? I mean, what was your secret?
Well, repetition for sure. You've got to just, it comes down to, you have to have a routine. So whatever that is, dribble the ball twice, spin it. And more simple in my opinion is better. You don't want to, you've seen, I'll take Giannis as an example over the years. His routine has changed so many times, and it's a little long for my liking, but keep it simple, take a deep breath, focus on the front of that rim, and just shoot a bunch.
Brian Poles joining us here on WRCO Radio, Vice President of Clinic Services at the hospital. And in the second half, we talked a little basketball, one of my favorite topics. We'll be back with more coming up tomorrow. We'll talk to members of the Grace Board on Friday. Tom Mueller from Mueller Implement is our guest on WRCO Radio. Tom, since the last time we've talked, we've had some snow, we've had some fog, we've had some rain, a little bit of everything here at the end of the year.
And we had a great Christmas, didn't we?
We had a great Christmas. It was a white Christmas.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was at least for a lot of people, that's what they were looking for. And we have the end of the year coming. In fact, it's next Tuesday, and we're only open half day on Tuesday, so we want to kind of let you know that up front here. And the reality is it's time to start thinking about taxes. A lot of people are coming in and buying lawnmowers and all kinds of different things to basically write off. So right now we have a great program. We have 15% off in cement saws, which are a big item with construction guys, 10% off in plates, jumping jacks, and of course walk behind saws. And then we get into a whole bunch of other arrays here, but we have 5% cash for or check for all lawnmowers as far as consumer. And if you're looking at the commercial, we have commercial discounts up to 15% off. So these are the end of the year savings. It's a great time for those people that are trying to save some money, because you can write this stuff off. You can basically pay a little less than Uncle Sam and keep it in your back pocket. Also, a lot of people don't realize it, but we have 10% off on all of our handheld Husqvarnas. So that means literally you can walk in here, get 10% off. That's not available anywhere else. It's literally one of the things that we can do because of the volume that we do with the company. So it's a great time to stop in and save a small fortune. We also have, and a lot of people don't know this, we have all the arborist equipment you need. That'd be your ropes and your throw sacks and everything else that you need to do arboring. We are a full-fledged operation, have arbor saws and et cetera. So good for those arborists out there that are doing tree work. And that's almost a year-round game, so it's very, very important. Here at Dodgeville, Wisconsin, we're easy to find. We're at 4948 Highway YZ, right across from Midwest Roofing. And, of course, those little guys, Farm and Fleet, hey, the lights are on again this morning, so they're going to stick around probably another day. Stop and see them, too. They're great people. We're open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, 8 to noon on Saturday. And if you go to www.MuellerRental.com, that's our Internet site, you'll have a chance to see a lot of our specials and programs and information that you might want to acquire. Go to Craigslist on the left-hand side, punch in Mueller, and you will see our used. And, boy, is there some deals right now. It's just a good time. Give us a holler at 935-2751. You know, we're Aaron's Gravely, Husqvarna, Wacker Nissan, and a Landmaster deal, which is basically a UTV dealer out of Indiana. And we have the best consumer and commercial lines in the industry. But we also have the most advanced and modern rental yard in the country. So a lot of people are doing projects right now. The frost is not deep, so you can maybe finish up some things at the end of the year or prepay a rental that you want to write off. Those are the other things that we see very often, especially coming close to the end of the year.
Right. Well, I'm guessing people can start their New Year's resolutions at Mueller Implement. You know, I want to get this fixed. I want to do that. You know, you can start right there, can't you?
Yes, we can. We can write them in a book, and then about 3 days later, they'll call and say, well, I didn't get that done.
That's probably true. But you're there to please, you know, for rentals.
Yes, I am, and guide. And if you say something that's just totally ridiculous, I'll write it in the book and say you'll probably be calling me in a few hours right after the first of the year.
Sounds good, buddy. We appreciate it. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year's to everybody, and enjoy, and be safe.
Tom Mueller from Mueller Implement joining us here for our Friday report on WRCO. It's 36 degrees with foggy conditions and a little light rain at 7 o'clock.
Keeping your vehicle running at its best is easy with GM Certified Service from Jones Chevrolet, your one-stop shop for all your service needs on Highway 14 East or JonesChev.com. From oil changes to tires, brakes, and inspections, the GM trained technicians make maintenance simple for you. We have the expertise, technology, and convenient hours to take good care of your vehicle. For the very best GM certified service, make an appointment soon by calling 647-3788, stopping by at Highway 14 East, or visit JonesChev.com. Your